Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show, our Sunday cybersecurity show, to be more specific. And for those of you that have been listening lately, you realize that we've started to devote the Sunday 7 a.m. hour to cybersecurity, because we have the talent with Mr. AI Wynn now to lead us through the different stages of cyber security, how to make, even as an investor, how to make your systems more secure. And if you've been listening to us for the past, what have we done now? 3 weeks, when?
Three or 4 weeks.
Yeah. You'll realize that we've talked so far about how to protect yourself from phishing attacks, how to protect against malware from your email. We've talked about ransomware. Had a couple major breaches that we've discussed, along with credit freezes, which is what, just to summarize the advice from that show, it's to get your credit freeze undertaken as soon as possible so that you can be made aware anytime someone's trying to set up new credit accounts or loans, et cetera. And so last week we started talking about artificial intelligence or AI, and I know if you're like me, you may be tired of hearing the words AI, but it is a multifaceted topic that we'll be talking about for a long time because it's moving that fast. And Wynn has some ideas on how to protect yourself in that realm as well, or how to use it. And we're all using it now. It's just a question of which flavor or which brand or all the brands. I mean, I think, Wynn, you've probably got subscriptions to more than a few, right?
We'll probably use it. We don't even know it.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. All the apps these days have it built in. I know if you use most of Google's applications, you're being fed some Gemini. Gemini is the name of their product, and they've got free trials. I keep getting 30-day trial offers. I haven't bit the bullet yet on that one, but I will be. I have started working some with ChatGPT, mainly because it's been added to some of the research tools that we use as tax CPAs. In any event, I know that if you're just tuning in, you may wonder, well, gee, what does this have to do with real estate opportunities or tax strategies, et cetera? And there's a method to the madness. And I've got enough input from people that have been listening to where I realize we've kind of struck a chord, and at least for the foreseeable future, or to the extent Wynn is willing, we're going to keep doing it. So, Wynn, let's go over the agenda for today. I'll let you take over.
Before we say anything, I just want to recap. Last week, we're talking about the credit freeze, okay? And I think I am a victim myself with the credit freeze. I mean, with the impact is I got several companies trying to register under my name. So it's already here. Anyway, today I want to talk about the artificial intelligence, what's so-called AI. And I think that's one of the biggest topics, especially last week when NVIDIA came out with the earning that blew everybody's expectations.
And quarterly earnings release.
And it's amazing. I think that the disclaimer, we're not a financial advisor. But anyway, I think the AI's technology is going to save the market. Well, that's just my opinion. But how it involved with everything we do every day, the impact of, you know, our cars and our computings, it changed everything. But before we dive in, okay, I have a lot of people text me and send in a question about what exactly NVIDIA, what do they do? What's the difference? And why is this so different from Intel or AMD? What's so special about them? So I'm going to dive in real quick just to explain in a layman's term what they do versus the other competitors. Okay.
And these other competitors, AMD and
they
Intel,
are CPU. They are CPU.
They don't make the GPUs, they or don't at least make, not to the same
They don't make the
level.
GPU. So a lot of people say, what's the difference, right? What's the difference between, Intel, AMD making CPU since the beginning of time?
But machines that have Intel CPUs have a GPU. It's just not an Intel or an AMD version, correct?
It's not the same. So when we say, well, let's take a step back. So what is a CPU, right? So when CPU first invented, right, so it basically is a single processing unit. It basically handling wide variety of tasks. It make general purpose processor like opening file, running application, perform applications, calculation. The core thread of CPU typically is like when you're talking about a single thread performance, individual, right? When you're talking about the GPU, we're talking about parallel, okay? In a thousand of parallel processing, it's different from CPU. CPU is when you process the application and you process the file, but GPU is a difference, right? It performs many operations simultaneously. Okay, it basically first designed for rendering graphics, just like texture, shading, polygon, real time, right? And many core like GPU have a large number of smaller core. A thousand of smaller core. When Intel has individual core, but have high performance, it's like it rely on the clock speed. But GPU doesn't. It runs parallel. Imagine every component, every processing, like machine. So that's why it's perfect for graphics, rendering, machine learning, and especially cryptocurrency mining. It's designed for the same operation, must be performed on a large data set. That's what the GPU is. Okay, it's running parallel, like a thousand million of same single tasks at the same time. Okay, so that's the key difference. What is the key difference? The CPU are better for general purpose tasks, in layman's term. Okay, but the GPU better suit for involve processing large block of data simultaneously. I hope that makes sense.
Well, it's confusing to us lay people, but I would say, let's talk about my machine. I've got a MacBook. And from what I understand, I've got both a CPU and I've got at least one
GPU. With a graphic card. That is the for graphic card.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the GPU, as it's morphing, are CPUs still in these rack-mounted machines that are doing the data mining?
So that's completely different, right?
Okay.
So the one in your Mac, let's talk about that. The Mac has a CPU, right? The CPU is for the process of your operating system, your file, your applications. But the GPU inside your Mac is basically, that's a graphic card.
Just for graphics.
That's for graphics.
Okay.
The processing graphics for gamings and other stuff.
So the GPUs that are in these machines, and they're arrays, right? They're racks. They're not one machine. They're a bunch of machines.
They're a bunch of machines, but
together.
They're not the same. They're similar, but they're not the same. They are graphic card, basically.
Right, but do those machines still have CPUs as well?
They do.
Oh,
they
okay.
do. So most of them, if you look at it, they have like a 4-core CPU or up to 16 core. But on the graphic side of it, they have like, if you look at it, most of them have like, when I mine my cryptocurrency, I got about 4 NVIDIA GE fours. They're about 4 or 5 of them. And their purpose is for perform large data calculation. That's all it does. Had nothing to do with CPU.
And nothing to do with graphics either.
Exactly. So it's all to do. So today it's going to change. Well, when I talk more about that, it's going to change the whole landscape of server. Because
right
now, all the server we have today are using Intel processor or AMD. But the next generation is going to use all GPU. It's going to be more efficient, especially when NVIDIA come out with NVIDIA Blackwell chips. It basically is GPU and CPU combined.
Hmm.
But we don't know the detail what was, you know, inside the processor is. But it's going to change the dynamic of every data center. You're going to see. That's what happened to Intel, the going down.
And are these new ones projected to be less expensive, more cost-effective?
It's expensive in the sense, it's going to be expensive, but in long term, it's less expensive because it uses less heat.
I understand,
use less heat, and the processing power is a lot faster, more efficient, especially for cloud computing. That is designed for that purpose.
Okay.
Like today, today they have like AI that you have, and HPC. And even Tesla use them too. And the chip they use today in data center is called A100 series. Okay, those things cost about between, for 40 gigahertz, it costs around from $14,000 to $28,000.
Wow.
Yep, they're expensive. But you think, imagine the problem, the challenge, when I mining Bitcoin, using this kind of video graphics, it uses a lot of power. A lot of power, and the heat is building up. Okay, so hopefully in the future it's more efficient. The way they design the chipset is going to be more efficient. So how is that? So that's one of the things. So let's talk about how is that going to impact the artificial intelligence. Okay, how is the GPU for AI? How does it play a role for AI? Okay. We're talking about in the field of machine learning and ability to handle highly parallel nature of AI computing efficiently. Here's how the GPU use AI. Deep learning and neural network. You know what I'm talking about when I say deep learning?
No, I don't. I'm going to be learning a lot today.
So it's basically, like a layer of neurons. A GPU accelerates this process by parallel the computer across many cores. It's training the model. You're talking about all the data put together. Basically, what is AI? I mean, like ChatGPT, basically a large machine learning. Okay, it's a lot of data. Okay? And you need something like each processor. Like that's why we call the GPU is data parallelism. It's the same operation performed on a different data point simultaneously. GPU can process a multiple data point all at once. And you're talking about like training model, like a large data set. That's where the power is. And then you're talking about the deep learning. You're talking about the model training, the make prediction. Look at all the data we have today, especially in real-time application like autonomous vehicle. Okay, like Tesla using it right now. Like the way they drive all the data around them. You need processing power, and only GPU with parallel data, they call data parallelism, can handle that.
So I'm curious how Tesla has implemented, is a Tesla vehicle, I mean, it's like a computer in and of itself, or a network of computers probably in and of itself?
Well, we don't know the deep, Tesla's not going to tell you what's inside, yeah. But basically, the chipset that they're using, and also because Tesla is the network, if you think about it, it's not a car, it's a network, right?
Right.
And when your car calling back to data center, what are they using in the back end?
Starlink.
Well, Starlink is the internet. But the data they're using, what process behind the scene is NVIDIA. Technology.
If that link is broken, are Tesla owners in a world of hurts at that point, at least momentarily?
I'm pretty sure they have a fail-safe. It's still driving, especially the car is still driving. Well, I own a Tesla myself. I don't have to go through, hopefully. I have the experience.
You don't have to find that out.
I have to find that out.
You'll let us know.
But I'm not going to use the autonomous driving yet.
Yeah.
Even though I try it, is working.
Did you buy isn't that a separate module you have
to
buy?
I did not buy the whole package, but when I first bought it, they gave us like a
test,
like a 30-day trial. I really like it. Okay, I think it's a lot improvement.
But did you operate it with your hands, like sitting here close to the wheel, or
actually,
did
I tried,
you really travel?
I actually tried to sleep too. No, okay. I didn't do that. No.
So you sat in the back seat then.
But see, thing like that, the future is changing. Like, especially, have you seen those drones that they have today?
Some of them. You mean generally a drone?
Like obstacle avoidance. I mean, it's amazing how those things fly. How do they know?
Yeah.
You know, like it avoid all the obstacles. I have the drone made by the MIT folks.
Huh.
And it's worked great. And it tried to avoid all the obstacles. And we're talking about a few years ago.
Your car. I mean,
same thing, right?
Yeah.
Right. But this is what happened. There's occasionally those, when they get into the, bypass those trees, those branches, they cannot see. Those drones, the one that I have, has 6 camera, 48 megapixel.
Total or each one?
Each one.
Wow.
But still, it still almost hit those branches.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think we're there yet. I'm not comfortable driving autonomous yet.
Yeah.
But I think the future is getting very closer.
Oh,
that's a lot of data.
I don't doubt it.
Right.
Hey, let's take this opportunity to take our first break, and we will circle back with more of Cybersecurity Sunday here on 700 AM KSEV, the voice of Texas.
People always coming up to me and asking what your secret. With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me away, I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me.
With big dreams and fake dreams.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Cybersecurity Sunday show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my special guest, Mr. A.I. Nguyen. And, you know, I know some of you that are tuning in are wondering, why are we doing cybersecurity each Sunday? And I guess all I can tell you, or what I'll try to tell you briefly, is that cybersecurity needs to be your thing. You need to pay attention, understand how to protect yourself, especially as it relates to artificial intelligence, which is what we're talking about this week and probably almost every week going into the future, the way this space is changing so rapidly. And if you don't think it affects you because, oh, it's big company stuff, think again. If you've seen malware or you've seen phishing attacks in your own email, as an example, you probably haven't experienced a ransomware attack unless maybe you've got a business that's successful. But these topics, or this topic, artificial intelligence, most assuredly will affect you in some capacity moving forward. We would like to see that be a positive change. It should be taken in the context of giving you more resources to undertake computing tasks. I know we're using it for assorted research questions and opportunities. And we also, I know last week we talked a little bit about some of the hardware, the personal hardware that's available, that's spectacular in terms of what it gives you the ability to do. And we'll continue to talk about those items on the air, and we'll probably, Mr. AI Wynn will likely start adding some videos to our Be a Planner show site that, or I'm sorry, our YouTube channel we're getting ready to launch. And if you're interested in any of those devices, let us know and we'll give you links and direction on how to get those in hand. Okay, Wynn, we were talking about generally the topic of this week's show, well, being that it's artificial intelligence generally, we're talking about the type of computing that accompanies artificial intelligence, and you've mentioned NVIDIA and the GPU thus far, which is the type of processing unit that we utilize for most artificial intelligence tasks, I suppose you could say.
Well, you know, we're talking about the reason I want to brought that first, so people can understand the difference between the GPU and CPU and how it's impact the market, but also how the technology itself, how's it impact the cybersecurity space. And then the next topic I want to talk about, how these hackers can use AI in a variety of way to create cyber threats. That includes phishing, malware, deepfake, impersonations, password hacking, social engineering, and brute force. And how fast they can do that.
Yeah, in other words, it's the same old hack attempts, but now they're on steroids with
a thousand times.
Yeah,
at the same
with
time,
AI.
And it changed rapidly, and it changed on the fly. Usually, like when the hacker create the virus or the malware, and the moment the antivirus picked it up, they have a solution, but it takes you to download it, and then you have the signatures and behavior fixed right away. Well, this kind of malware, it changed on the fly. The moment it detected, you know what it is, it changed it. Imagine that. And how do they do it? The same technology we use to make computing efficient, they use it against us. It's a double-edged sword. Like, back then, if I can send you a phishing email, I can send a one or two, I send a thousand, right? Now I can send them in the millions. I get all the name and the data.
Each
database.
Tweet a little bit. Like a gecko.
Like a gecko.
Changing its colors. Hiding.
The chameleon.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
So if you send it out, I send out in a million of them all at the same time to everybody. You think about that. And just 1% people can click on it. Just
maybe
not even
1%. Yeah, you don't need
1%.
Many.
0.001%. Right.
And it may even look like your bank. It may even look like your banker if there's a video affiliated with it. It's amazing how quickly they can replicate your normal experience with whoever it is that you're dealing with as a vendor.
And we train people, okay, not to click on the link and look for a certain thing, for example, like spelling and urgency, things like that. Now it can... AI learned about that. They don't misspell anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the latest one that I received, like human, it's like intelligent people who wrote the email. You cannot tell. I mean, up to a point, I cannot tell. That's how dangerous that is.
And
think
it's
about
multilingual,
that.
And it
they don't
sounds
misspell.
Good, and right.
And it doesn't sound
the misspelled
like...
misspelled words aren't going to key you in anymore.
You probably like this one. You probably experienced this. Have you ever received an email from a Nigerian king?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And they say they have millions of dollars.
They say, just need your bank account.
Need a bank
account. That's all we need.
Forget those. Forget those. Imagine the email came from Microsoft.
Yeah.
I'm talking about very realistic.
Or from Aunt Rose.
Or from, there you go, or from your
somebody
bank.
Somebody you trust, right?
Somebody you trust because they go to your database. If they access your database, your name, your phone number, and they can use your relative and say, hey, you know what? Remember that day that we were there, that and so forth. Because it learned from your, it took information from your database.
Yeah.
It know everything about you. For example, LinkedIn. Oh, I want to talk about that space right there. It can learn everything about the company employees.
Right.
And how they're related. Think about it. You put in your LinkedIn, you work for this company for 8 months, blah, blah, and so forth.
Yeah.
They have the database of that.
Well, LinkedIn is only moderately more, how do we say it, more secure than Facebook in terms of the information.
No.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, LinkedIn usually doesn't have a photo of your family or
mm-hmm.
your
mm-hmm.
home, et cetera, but it's got ample details about your business, your employment, et cetera.
Enough.
That can easily be
enough for
replicated.
Them to imagine if they have information, each information from Facebook, LinkedIn,
right.
and Google, they combine all together. They're making email or they're making something with very, very, very powerful, very similar.
Yeah.
They would trick you to click it. I have people, okay, intelligent. You know, we're not talking about regular people. We're talking about intelligent people, bankers and lawyers. They do click on those link.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so realistic, right?
Well, it's like the Christmas present on Christmas Eve. Everybody wants to open it.
And I keep training people. I said, very simple. If you receive an email from internal, there's no banners. And you know from internal, you know it's from your company. But the moment you receive like a banner from, it's an external, you need to be careful. But wait, this shows that from HR. But external, so that's not from HR, right? So you need to be careful. People still click on it because it's so real. And you know what? You know when they usually send it out? When you're driving home, you're using your phone because your phone don't tell you everything, right?
Yeah. True.
Your phone, you can't tell. Sometimes you cannot tell the difference between real or fake.
Yeah.
Because you're driving, you look at it 5 p.m., 6 p.m., you just click on it.
That's well, and you mentioned HR-derived or sourced emails. I know some of the biggest hacks that have occurred in the tax space. I'll never forget, I had a client that was with a fairly big-sized company. I don't know how many employees, but it was several thousand that... a hacker contacted a contact for the HR department that was in charge of payroll reporting, W-2 preparation, et cetera, and generated an email. This is before we ever heard the word AI, and said, we need a list of all the current year W-2s. And I don't know how much of a clerk versus a manager it was, sent them the entire file of the W-2, showed everything, Social Security, address, gross wages, FIT. And so sure enough, then many of them experienced, the identity theft through the tax return system where people were filing returns, not the right people, but they were claiming refunds for those federal income tax withholding numbers. And it's that was before artificial intelligence. And just, depending on how authentic you can convince the other end, determined whether or not your request would be satisfied. But it's really amazing how easy it's become now with AI.
See, especially what you just mentioned, that's a social engineering, right? That's a technique that they can use based on the information that they have. To gather all those information. If I know everything about you.
Well, it's like we were talking, I think it was last week, about the national public data breach.
Social Security, yeah.
Yeah, and, that's how that information can be redeployed. Once they have your social and your address, and, there's a lot of places they can turn with that information to get to a money source.
So I tell you, it happened to me, but since I have the Norton LifeLock, it actually blocked it. Because the moment that they click on it, they say, did you just apply for this credit card? And I did not even know that I buy a home, right? And I'll show you next time. I have the document. And I block it. I said, no, it wasn't me. So they block it. Norton block it.
Hmm.
Okay. And it's happened more often this past month. It's incredible.
Wow.
Right. So some of the thing that another thing we're talking about on cybersecurity, password hacking. Man, make your password complicated. Don't use, back then you just use 4 letters, right? Today people say 8. No, just use passphrase. Use passphrase, make it more complicated.
Give me an example of a passphrase versus a password.
Well, password.
Multiple words?
Well, the password, you just use a random word, right? But most people use pass 1234. That's the pass. That's the password. The passphrase is a phrase that only you know. For example, I'll give you one example. Right? Here's my passphrase. In Vietnam, winter's always cold.
I see.
Or hot. I'm sorry. The winter's always hot.
Yeah.
But I capitalized on
you
each gotta word.
Remember.
You have to remember, yeah. But you also capitalized each word. See?
Let me make a note of that. It was in Vietnam.
Yeah, right. Just an example. I don't use that.
Yeah, exactly.
But you see that? Now, it make it different from 5-minute hacking to 10 million.
And how does, I know there's hacker tools for breaking passwords. How do they get around
dictionary.
Like a 3-password
dictionary.
Limit?
They
what
have
do you mean dictionary?
Well, that's where the AI helped them. AI gather all the most common.
Well, I understand, but how did when the block occurs at mm-hmm. the third bad attempt, at some point, like if it's an Apple ID, you don't just get to go indefinitely. You can try
correct.
Again in an
correct.
Hour and again
and
in 3 hours,
right.
And then it stops.
So that is a tool used by company, right? Like your Active Directory, you have 3 strikes and you're out, and they lock your computer.
And then you get
right?
a contact support,
correct.
Basically.
But if you're talking about like other... password like email like your Yahoo, your Google, if you don't enable the security or if you don't buy the purge extra security, they still gonna bypass it. Right? But nowadays they don't have to guess they don't have to go to the dictionary anymore. They actually obtain all your information from the dark web. So they don't have to go to the dictionary. They know some of your most common passwords you use already. Most of them are stolen and upload it to the dark web.
Do cookies have password info stored in any way or shape?
Are you talking about cookie we're eating or we're talking
about? Yeah, I'm talking about the cookies on
your
computer.
Oh, the computer.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Yes, those things are very helpful.
But they don't store passwords in them, do they? I mean, they allow the other side to know that, okay, you visited this site before. Maybe here's what you were interested in product-wise.
But,
where does it stop?
But those, yeah, but it's, imagine if the hacker if you click on the wrong site, and when you click on the cookie, you thought you click on the cookie, you actually click on the link they want you to click. That the moment you do that, they compromise your whole computers. They can turn your computer into a bot. And we get to that next time.
Okay.
That means all the information you have, they're gonna see from there. So not everything that you, I don't trust, I'm telling you, I don't trust anything on the network. I see 95% all spam. Just be careful.
And it doesn't matter what type of network.
Right. Now, next time I want to talk about, have you ever heard of the phrase called a cloud browser?
A cloud browser. I can't say that I have.
Okay. Do you know what the definition of the cloud?
Am I Democrat or Republican?
Put yourself in the both of them.
Well, it's a computer up over the clouds if I'm Kamala Harris, right?
Basically.
It's not on my machine anymore. I heard her say that.
How about just say, how about this? The cloud is somebody else's computer. Plain and simple, right? Somebody
but hosts. A computer, nonetheless.
It's a computer, right? It's right. Somebody else's computer, basically. Instead of your on your computer or somebody else's computer, a cloud browser is somebody else's browser. It's not on your computer. And that's a product that I'm testing and I'm working on. It's pretty powerful and pretty fast. Basically, I use it, somebody else's browser, and there's no ad. There's nothing in there. Okay? And even if I click on something, it doesn't compromise. Let's just say I click on the malware. It will not compromise my computers because nothing on my computer is in somebody else's browser. That's the next generation of computing browsing.
You know, while you were talking, I just thought I would check and see what the latest data breaches have been, because we've only talked about a couple of them, right? Mm-hmm. And I just first thing that popped up was a list of the breaches in May that I don't remember hearing about any of these, but these all involve big names. Well, I didn't hear about this one for sure. Conta Costa Rice ransomware attack. You know what that one is? Did you see that at any of your clients?
I can't tell that I have, but that's
okay.
The
second one is Twitter. Data of more than 200 million Twitter users was hacked. This is back May 1, as was the previous one. It looks like all these were on May 1, actually. Is that possible?
Very possible.
Slack, you know, very common, supposed to be highly encrypted, et cetera. I've never been a Slack fan, but I've got several vendors that insist you use it if you want support, which, by the way, I really eschew this, I guess you could call it a Zen support mechanism where you can't ever talk to anybody. It's all got to go through messaging, right? And it's like, let's just pick the phone up and let me ask you something that'll otherwise take me half an hour of wasted time to go back and forth, you know, with somebody on. I can't stand that support model. Anyway, Slack has inside Slack's GitHub account that was hacked. I don't know how many users were affected, but it was a bunch. Cisco suffers a cyber attack by UNC2447. Any idea what that is? When? Some group, no doubt. That was May 1.
There's a lot of group, but I tell you.
And these are name brand. These aren't, you know, people you would be suspicious of, right? I mean, mm-hmm. If you get a message through Slack, you're thinking, oh, well, this is a very secure platform. That's why my vendor utilized it. And then lastly, there was a 2.4 terabyte data link caused by Microsoft's misconfiguration. This sounds like a CrowdStrike, but this was May 1. Wonder how many others have occurred. If these
misconfiguration. Yeah. They always say that. That's just like the common term when they throw it out when they get hacked. Okay.
That's like we all need to get COVID shots, right? Okay.
So
let's not get political.
Let's don't go there. Stick with the cloud. Stick with the cloud. Okay. Somebody else's computer.
Let's take our last break. We're a few minutes past. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show. It's Cybersecurity Sunday.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones are made of my life. But I shine like a diamond through sun.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's cybersecurity show on Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I didn't mention, but our website is BeAPlannerShow.com. We have not added any cybersecurity articles or materials. We will be doing so here soon. For those of you that want to learn more about the most current issues, you can go to a site, the one I was just referencing. It's called purplesec.us, and a further sub-link would be the breach-report at the end of that. So https://purplesec.us/breach-report. And I will at some point add that link to a separate menu choice under our news page on the resources tab up at the top on BeAPlannerShow.com. And for those of you that tuned in thinking you were going to be listening to tax and real estate talk today, and you have questions on that front or you want to learn more about cybersecurity, go to our website to the forms link and fill out at least form one, step one. You can submit it right there online without doing anything other than putting the answers in, and as you get down to the bottom, you'll see a submit button, and I will be happy to spend some time on the phone with you. You can schedule a call right next to the forms link. You'll see a call link and try to give you some idea of how we might be able to help you sync up with your goals and objectives. And we've also got a contact us link there on the front page, and if you want to talk to Mr. AI Wynn or me. You know, we'd prefer that you fill out the forms, but we'll still talk to you. We can't go into as much detail, obviously, if we don't know enough about your unique facts and circumstances. But hey, I know some people aren't sure whether it's worth the effort to give us the data, and so they want to chat first. And we're happy to entertain those calls, but just understand we've got limitations on how specific we can get. Okay, well, Wynn, we've got about 8 minutes left. Let's, then I can tell based on the remaining outline that I've got here, this is going to be broken into two or three shows worth of content. But anyway, where were we?
Well, the next I want to talk about how AI learning to protect you from hackers and cyber threats.
So how we use AI mm-hmm. to defeat AI.
So I don't think this
the wrong actors.
I don't think this is going to be at our level, the user level, but it's going to be at the company level, right? They can use AI for machine learning against a proactive measure.
Okay, but what about a company we're dealing with? If they encounter an AI-derived hack, is that not able to be passed through to us? I would think it could
be,
right?
That's what I'm talking about, like the supply chains, right? It just from not just us, when it's compromised your client or your customers, you attach it to your customer, to your client, your customer, it will also affect you.
Or your vendor.
Or your vendor. So that's called a third-party indirect attack, right? So what they can do, if they can take proactive measure, each company, that's why when you're dealing with each company, you have to sign some kind of an audit. They have to say, are you secure? They want to make sure you are the same level secure they are, right? But those are low-tech, high-yield policy. But they need, every company have to take responsibility to protect their own network so they won't affect their customer or their
client. Think about just a common scenario. We all order stuff off Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. How in the world does Amazon police? Is it because we ultimately, to buy anything from Amazon, you have to sign in? So is that like a master lock? Is that a gateway that you can't get? I mean, Amazon is looking at something on your end to figure out, hey, this is not an AI copy or drone. This is a real person. And I know they've got the dual authentication. You know, they'll send you the OTP. Doesn't AI have the ability to field the OTP and respond?
Yes, they can. Yeah. There's some cases that they can defeat those. What you just saying right there is called dual factor authentication, and AI can help hacker defeat that. Like Okta is one of the company that provide dual factor authentication. They get hacked, and once they get hacked, and that's it. You know, so you need a multi level of authentications. But that's why, you know, this is there's no silver bullet. It's a challenge. But the more you try, the more you apply more security measures.
The smarter we're making the other end.
The less the other end, right. I mean, it's all about, it's just like just saying, like, I protect myself from driving, and the more protection I have, less for me to get into an accident, right?
But it doesn't eliminate it.
Not going to eliminate. You can only minimize. You're not going to eliminate it.
Right.
The threat is always there. Right. You can always minimize it. So a lot of companies now, they do advanced threat detection, and they use AI to do that. And intelligent incident response, and they use AI to do that. I'm talking about your provider. I'm talking about AT&T's.
Part of AI, I thought, this would be used in a positive context in the perfect world. Don't we all make AI more intelligent by submitting information constantly? I mean, isn't it it's the epitome of the open source movement in effect?
And they learn from us, and they learn from every day, right?
But isn't good and bad. So if we put information out that's false, that goes into some kind of filtration, I'm assuming, but it's like Wikipedia, you know? Wikipedia
is a double-edged sword.
Bad info on it.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, sure is. Mm-hmm. Sure seems to be.
So how do we protect ourselves? The one solution I tell people, okay, be vigilant, skeptical, everything you read, especially when it comes to financial, be skeptical. Did you hear last week that one lawyer, I think he's 76 years old, he retired, and he got, he clicked on some link, and what happened is somebody pretend to be, and you know what, back then you don't hear an overseas voice anymore, and this person pretend to be the government, say, we need your help to investigate a fraud. And I don't know exactly the detail, but somehow the hacker convinced him to go to his 401k and transfer all his money.
Yeah, I read about this.
But guess what? He got a bill from the IRS. So they stole $700,000 from him. Now he got a bill from the IRS.
Because he didn't report it, because he didn't know that he had withdrawn it.
And it also 20% or 30% income, he owed like $300,000.
Yeah.
How are they going to do that?
Well, you know what I'm reading, and I don't know. I haven't had a client that's had that happened to him, but the banks and the custodians involved thus far appear to be reimbursing people lost funds. And I don't know details. Like I say, I don't have anybody
that's been
firsthand.
They do.
But they're sure not publicizing that because they don't want any more potential claims than, excuse me, than they might otherwise get, right?
You need to report to the government, like the ic3.org. The moment you have a case number, it's easy for you to talk to the bank, and they will. That's the secret, okay? Because if you don't, they put you behind like everybody else.
Yeah.
But if you file for those information with the ic3,
you know, I've seen that advice on a lot of sites, so that I tend to think it's valuable advice. On the other hand, I'd be real careful when you're trying to make sure you are reporting to the government and not somebody else. But I guess
that's another thing.
I don't know. What are they talking code when you connect? I mean, how do they send you an OTP maybe? But the hackers know how to send OTPs too, right?
So that's another challenge. This guy asked me the same thing. How do I know this site is real or not? See, that's you're talking about, because you cannot expect everybody to be cybersecurity. That's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
You just need to be very careful that who you're dealing with. So password protection, that's number one. And be skeptical on the link.
Healthy dose of skepticism.
There you go. Oh, that's a very good term right there. So, and another thing too is try to limit, go to social media, like input too much information on Facebook. You know,
I have a solution. How about not looking at social media, or at least posting? How about just resist the temptation? I mean, what? I'm just curious. You know, unless you're selling a service like you are, Wynn, and I am, why go on social media at all? And I might say even to read stuff. I mean, forget about just posting, because every little twist of the cap, you know, think of it as a jar of mayonnaise or whatever, you eventually run the risk of exploding, right? You know, you go too far.
That's what I said. This is a term that I use right now that's in my head. It's better to avoid than to resist.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So limit yourself on your social media, okay?
Got about 15 seconds left. How do you want to wrap up? Let's talk about where we're drawing the line here in our agenda, and we'll pick up next week. Is it going to be a memory hierarchy?
Are we going to talk about still with AI and how it impacts security? Because I think this topic is not going to end.
Well,
this,
it may change between now and next Sunday.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, we'll have another breach.
There's a breach every week, minimum.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it more.
Okay. Well, we're at the end of today's show. We appreciate you joining in. We hope you like this Sunday deviation, if you want to say, from tax and real estate. Let us know what you think, and you can send me a text at 713-581-0195. We'll be back on Thursday at 2 p.m. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.